Anything Goes Podcast number 7, March 19th, 2006. This is podcast number 7, and for anybody who's a new listener or new subscriber, whatever you want to call it, Anything Ghost is a podcast I created to be a paranormal forum. Mail in your paranormal experiences, your personal stories, and I'll read them over the air. The email is anythingghost@yahoo.com, and any kind of story is great. Knock on the wall that you're hearing, a cold brush of air passing your face, no explanation for it. Anything goes on Anything Ghost, or if you think you're possessed, I don't care, but just send it in and I'll read it over the air and we'll get a forum going here. And it seems to be going pretty good so far. We're on podcast 7, got several people from everywhere from California to the UK. So, and on number 7, I'm going to go over a few things. I got an email from Ben in Connecticut. And before I get started, I want to thank Daniel from Portland, Oregon. He emailed in a couple weeks ago saying he really liked the podcast. So that's another spot on the map. Thanks, Daniel. And so today I'm going to go over email I got from Ben in Connecticut. I'm going to read you a bit about the valley. What is it called? Let me see. I got this written down. I'm a little tongue-tied today, so excuse me. A Valley of the Moon Saloon in Sonoma, California. And then also I'm going to read you something about a lighthouse at Point Conception, California. And then care of Ben, there's a place called Dudley Town in Connecticut that I did some reading up on, and I was going to tell you a little bit about that. And so I guess I'll get right into Ben's email. Okay, Ben's 14 years old and he's from Connecticut, like I said. And this is what he wrote. Let's see. Okay, going to my story, it starts out a while back, maybe 7 years or more. My mother was either singing or going out to pray at our synagogue, and she swore that she saw her deceased grandfather sitting in the back row. He was wearing a navy blue suit and nodding his head, as he always did while attending services. That is all for that story. The next one starts out at my home, maybe about the same time, maybe a little later. My mom was cooking dinner, and she saw her father-in-law, also deceased, leaning over her shoulder. He looked at the food and declared, "Mmm, looks good." Then he disappeared. Okay, so those were two of Ben's stories. I actually got a few from him. The next one, he says he has things happen to me, like ESP related. He said one time he was eating breakfast and he asked his mother if she hurt her toe. Later that night, she sprained her toe on a dresser. And another one is, that was it for the ESP. And then from another email, he wrote these stories. I have 6 dogs. That's a lot of dogs. I have 2 dogs, but... Okay, I have 6 dogs. Oh, I'm sorry. I have had 6 dogs. Okay, that makes a little more sense. I have had 6 dogs, 2 of which have passed away. After the first one died, we would find dog food in shoes, cabinets, and all around our home. When I said, maybe it's a ghost of my bear, the dog that passed away, still playing with us. We never found the dog food in weird places again. That was pretty weird. See, the next one, he says he was sleeping in bed and felt really uneasy, that he had had a bad dream. Just a weird feeling. Anyway, I woke up and I saw a faded blue light to the left of my doorway, and a man in a top hat and Civil War era attire. It might have been just a light from the computer, and I was barely awake when I saw him, but who knows. And the next thing, he goes more into the ESP. He said, much of the time I'm talking to people and they are about to say something, and I know what their next word will be, so I'll say it. We also might be driving past a weird sign, and we both say, "That's weird," at the same time. That is all. All right, thanks, Ben. Those are great stories, the kind of thing I like to read over anything ghost. And hope to hear more. So the next thing I'll go over is Ben, while I'm on the subject of Ben, is... you know what I was going to mention while Ben was mentioning ESP? Personally, I was about to do a gig with for someone's birthday. It was like his 40th birthday. So I was considering doing with my two brothers when I was 21. What is that? Frank Sinatra's tune. And I was dwelling on it. Should I do it? Should I do it? I was driving around at lunch at work. And I turned on the radio, and right when I turned on the radio, the beginning of the song started, and I was just thinking about if I should do that song or not. And I, you know, let me know if you guys have any experiences like that. I think those are very interesting. Another one I had was really weird. I was living in another city. I had just gotten married, and I woke up in the morning with this dream of this. I had been dreaming about this kid that I knew when I was like, when I was much younger, you know, in high school. And he was a blind boy that lived next door to us, but he was amazing because he could ride his bicycle in the street. He makes a clicking noise with his tongue and uses the echo to tell him that there's anything in front of him. You know, it echoes and it returns like sonar, a form of sonar. And he would ride all over pretty fast on his bike down the street, and it was pretty amazing. And we became good friends with them, you know, my family and him and his little brother, and I'd babysat him sometimes. But anyway, so years later, I woke up and I had a dream about him. I hadn't thought about him in decades. And in the morning, I sat down at the table and opened up the paper, and on the front pages of the Metro section was a story about him. I was flabbergasted. Oh my God, I was just thinking about this guy. So, and I have stuff like that happen to me all the time. I'll have a dream about someone, I'll wake up and I'll see something in the paper or, you know, on the computer. You know, I log on and then there's something about in the news. But, so that's a little bit about my ESP. And then I was going to go over what Ben mentioned. He mentioned a place called Dudley Town in Connecticut that's supposed to have a history of hauntings. And I did a little research, and I'll just give you a little background on it. Okay, the founder was Thomas Griffiths, Griffiths, G-R-I-F-F-I-S, and the town was later named, there's the tongue-tying again, the town was later named for the three Dudley brothers who later bought it. And supposedly, the town has a curse on it. And supposedly, they're the ones who brought the curse over because they attempted to overthrow King Henry VIII. And a curse was put over them for that. I don't know how that works, but... and the curse supposedly is surrounded by horror and death. And... And I guess it went all the way down the family line. In 1745, Thomas Griffiths, the one who initially bought it, bought the lot, which is now Dudley Town, and it's a thick forested area with streams and rocks, and receives little sunlight because of the mountains. So it's probably pretty mossy and dark. Okay, by the 1800s, there was nearly no one living there because of... it wasn't doing well, I guess, because of lack of sunlight and there was no farming. And then by 1899, nobody lived there. And in 1920, a Dr. William Clark bought 1,000 acres, which included Dudleytown. He was a cancer specialist from New York. He loved the area so much, he formed an association called the Dark Entry Forest Association. And its idea was to preserve the wild land forever in that area. And then in the mid-1920s, like some years later, five or six years later, he was called an emergency in New York. He returned 36 hours later to find his wife had gone insane. And she had claimed that strange creatures were coming out of the forest to attack her and live the rest of her life in an asylum. And it's kind of odd. That story almost reminds me of a Harrison Ford movie where he was a doctor, I think, and he was drugging his wife to try to make her think she was crazy. It almost sounds like that. You know, he leaves for 36 hours, comes back, she's insane. And then, you know, who knows, maybe he put her in his institution and said, oh, she's insane, leave her here. But anyway, that's the story of Dudleytown. And, oh, wait, there's more. Today it's deserted except for some homes on the Bald Mountain Road, which claim they've had no disturbances. Since the 1940s, stories of apparitions, feelings of terror, mysterious lights, and being touched, pushed, and scratched have surfaced. Some researchers say a negative power spot, some researchers say that it's a negative power spot, the area. They say it's a place where entities can enter this world. I guess paranormal researchers are saying that. And so today, I guess some of the problems that are found today are problems with cameras, camera equipment, and people having big mood swings when they enter there. And then in 1999, the Dark Forest Entry Association, which the Dr. William Clark had formed, in 1999 they forbid trespassing because people were starting to go there and trespass, and they were wandering and kind of ruining the terrain. And that was their job, to keep it, you know, to keep it natural. So they closed it to trespassing. So that's where it stands today. And so that was, again, that's called Dudleytown in Connecticut, right against the mountains there, I guess. The next thing I was going to go over is in one of my books. It's called Valley of the Moon Saloon. It's in Sonoma, California. It's a haunted bar. It's a two-room bar, and it's 100 years old. And the owner is Carolina Ceelen, C-E-E-L-E-N. And I guess it all started when records started popping out of the jukebox, the secured slots in the jukebox, the records would pop out. And there were sounds of pool balls snapping when no one was playing. And then money in the cash register that had been counted, sorted, and bound with rubber bands was found strewn about the drawer, but none was missing. Several customers watched one night as bikes hanging on the wall began moving back and forth. This almost sounds like the guys at Haunted New Jersey and other podcasts I've listened to go into poltergeist. And this almost sounds like a classic poltergeist thing. But as far as they say in the story, there's no... Usually poltergeists are related to the energy from a young teenage, usually teenage girl, that causes it. But from what I'm reading, I don't know, maybe this lady has a daughter, which is a possibility. But also there was a upstairs area, and a tenant paid rent to live up there. And when this tenant first moved in, he wasn't sure he wanted to move in after the previous tenant told him that one evening a bar of soap flew into his hand while he was showering. Yeah, that would be a little freaky. But the ghost is telling you need to soap down more. But He also says he has no problem with the ghost, but there is only one stipulation. He has to leave the pantry door closed. If he accidentally leaves it open, he's reminded by lights going on and off and things being moved from room to room. So I guess he has to keep that pantry door closed. So, this is called the Valley of the Moon Saloon in Sonoma, California. And one time the owner was waiting for a beer delivery. She was by herself, and the ghost touched her arm and startled her. And so the address of this place is 17154 Sonoma Highway in Sonoma, California. So if you're around there, go by and have a beer and a scare. And, okay, another thing I was going to go over here was I was working on a song called having to do with wanting to be where the rain first hits. Because, like you all know, if you've been listening to me, I really like the rain. So I've been reading about an area where a song where talking about where the rain first hits the land. Sounds exciting, huh? Hit song. But anyway, and I started thinking about things, and I thought Point Conception entered my head. It's Point Conception, California, and it's an area in up by Santa Barbara, California, like the central coast of California. And it says, most of California coast runs in a general north-to-south direction. However, along the Santa Barbara Channel, the coast runs in a more east-to-west direction. At the west end of the channel, the coast makes an abrupt 90-degree turn northward. So the land on California coast pretty much goes broom, north-to-south. And then when it hits Santa Barbara, it jets east-to-west, jets out to the west. And I guess that would be a big problem for ships. You know, you're coming up, it's dark and foggy, wham, you run into the cliff. So, of course, they put a lighthouse there. And the lighthouse was built in 1872, or 1875. It was built in 1872, and then in 1875, it was in bad condition, and it had to be repaired. Okay, and so this website's basically about... It's called Lighthouse Friends, and they're basically, you know, they're just big on lighthouses, which is cool. But I kept on reading, blah, 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 and then I went down to this paragraph. The eerie sound of a foghorn crashing waves against the cliff, and often foggy days, gave the place a ghostly feeling. Of course, no lighthouse was worth its salt. Of course, no lighthouse worth its salt would be without a ghost story or two. And Point Conception had its stories, too. I chose to heed the stories, given the overall feeling the area gave out. Okay, and it says, on one occasion, we had to replace the chimes on the light. These are brass wheels that the base of the light rotates on. Over time, they wear and need to be replaced. The job isn't difficult, but you have to be careful. It entails jacking up the base of the light, removing the old wheels, and installing new ones. That's getting lighthouse technicals here. But on this given day, everyone was in a happy mood, and the jokes were flying. Soon the crew started to joke about the ghost at Conception. This, I guess, didn't sit too well, because our tools started to go missing. We would put a wrench down and then go to pick it up again, only to not be able to find it. After searching high and low, it would later turn up at the bottom of the stairs. That's pretty funny. This happened several times during the day, making it a half-day replacement job last all day. Needless to say, the jokes stopped. After that, whenever I would enter the lighthouse, I would knock on the door and announce that we were there to service the light. And I thought that was funny because I was just honestly looking up stories about weather, you know, another hobby of mine. And I came across this the first website I clicked on had this little paragraph about a haunted lighthouse. So I thought that was a pretty cool story. I liked that. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to make this a longer one today. I thought it would be because I had a few stories, but looks like it's going to be another 20-minuter. And by the way, it's a really nice cloudy day here in Pasadena today. if you like that kind of weather, and I do. And yesterday we had some rain. We went out to dinner and we got rained on while we were walking our dogs. But anyway, I'm gonna go try out my new running shoes in this weather. And so that'll be about it for this time. And be sure to mail in your stories if you have any. The address is anythingghost@yahoo.com. And I'll post them. And then maybe we can get some longer shows going here if I start getting more email. But, you know, don't push it. If it's not a true story, don't send it in. We don't want any. You know, an aunt of a friend of an aunt's mother's uncle. You know, we don't want any kind of stories like that. Just, you know, your personal paranormal experiences, no matter how simple or complicated, send them in, because anything goes on Anything Ghost. And take care. I'll talk to you on podcast 8.